Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We all know far too much about debt. Most of our lives are spent paying off some type of financial debts that we've incurred, or maybe having a house or having a car. And so when you get a new car, you have to take out a loan if you don't have the cash to pay out $20,000 or more dollars for a new vehicle. If you get a new house, you take out a mortgage and you go into debt. And even when each month you use your credit card, you're technically borrowing money, even if you pay your card off at the end of the month and you're not accruing an actual debt, you're still borrowing it and technically going into debt. And so we understand that word pretty well. We understand what debt is and what really goes on. If you haven't really had that type of debt in your life, you'd probably be the exception to the rule, because really we think about finances and that's mostly what happens. Though I think we also can talk about debt in a different way. You can think of debt as something to do with our actions in some sense, and we might not use that phrase, but when someone does something that they shouldn't have done, say someone has messed up at work, well, we expect them to fix their problem. If they messed up, they have to pay for it and fix what they did wrong. And so it's a sense there's a debt in that relationship, or a debt that they have to repay because they've messed up their work. And we kind of think that way. If someone gets caught speeding down the road, they might get caught by a police officer that's going to say, oh, I caught you speeding, here's a ticket. And in some sense, that's a debt to society, because they're deeming, well, your speeding was maybe going to hurt somebody, so you have to pay this fine because you might have put people at danger. And so we kind of get that idea. But we might not call it that, but that's really what sin is in our lives, is that it is a debt of sorts. And just like some actions in our lives cannot be undone by taking accountability for them and saying, I'm sorry, you can't undo actions all the time. That's where our sin leaves us, is indebted to God forever, unable to take care of that debt that we owe him. And so we know from our scripture readings this morning that it's clear to us that our debt has been canceled by the Lord. And so that means we also get to go and cancel the debts of others, sins. Though I think we might struggle to cancel debts in that way. You know, forgiveness is kind of a funny thing, because you and I know it's pretty simple. It's not hard, but we also don't do it very well all the time. And so we know it's as simple as providing an apology, as simply as saying, I'm sorry, and the person who is receiving the apology hears it, and they might say, I forgive you. It's very simple, but it doesn't always work out that way. And of course, we're familiar with the words from our gospel text this morning from Luke. As Jesus said, as he was teaching his disciples to pray in this petition of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And now we pray a little different version of the Lord's Prayer. It's pretty much from Matthew's gospel account, not Luke's. But really, I think this is an important one, because I'm going to focus on that word debt, and you're going to hear it come up quite a bit. And so that's going to be a big portion of what we're talking about this morning, so we get the full picture. But we understand what Luke means, even if that's not what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer each Sunday. We know he's talking about our debt of sin that is now forgiven by God. And Paul even phrased it this way in our epistle reading. This is how God's grace works. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of our debt that stood against us. Our debt is unable to be repaid, yet the Lord canceled it anyways. And this is, I think, maybe where our first struggle with forgiveness lies, is not being able to cancel other people's debt to us, their sin to us. And so, for example, if somebody was envious of something that we've had, or that they slander us and drag our name through the mud, they're in debt to you of sorts. You know that they've hurt you, and so in some sense you might think in your mind, well, they owe me for what they did. And so maybe you lose your temper and you want to put them in their place, because you know that's a way for them to repay what they've done to you. And I think men, we might especially find that to be how forgiveness should work, or at least how we think these debts should be repaid, that we might, in our stubbornness, struggle to realize that it's easier to cancel the debt than allow it to boil over into anger. And it might even feel almost childish to say those words, "I'm sorry," or to respond, "I forgive you," because we feel like it might just be destroying accountability. But that's not really what forgiveness does. We're actually just giving the gifts of God that he's already given us. And this, if we do this, would make us no different than the man Jesus described in our gospel text as impudent or arrogant, who said, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are now with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Now, the goofy thing about all of this is the man's already up out of bed. It's not like he's unable to get up. He's at the door answering the guy who's been knocking at his door at midnight asking for the bread. And so these words are just straight frustration at the matter that he is now having to help his neighbor and offer the gifts that he has to him because his friend has now come off the road. And so he's really more just frustrated and not desiring to help the friend. And he might go, "Well, yeah, if I got woke up at midnight, I would be kind of frustrated too." But part of what is going on here is culturally, if someone came from the road, you're supposed to be able to provide for them because you don't know how long they've been out. They could have been out all day. They might not have eaten. They might not have water. For all this guy knows, his friend who doesn't have the food, he's partially at fault, but his friend that's come from the road could be on the brink of death. He needs to provide for him. So now what he is doing is locking this door and shutting the gifts that God has given him to not help his neighbor here physically. And that is really what our forgiveness can do in a spiritual manner. If we, in our frustration or indifference towards someone's apology, refuse to offer that forgiveness, then we're actually neglecting the spiritual needs of those who need to receive that forgiveness. So, no, it's not a physical need of bread, but we are saying, no, this gift from God is not for me to give out right now. And that need for forgiveness, though, is something that we should all recognize. Just like this man locked in the house should know we all need our daily bread and we all need food and sustenance, he should have known that he should provide this because we all fall short of that call to forgive. And that's the very thing that Jesus has done for us so that we might offer it to others. And you've probably even heard this phrase, forgive and forget. It's a pretty common phrase that we've probably all heard. And I don't know that Scripture actually speaks about forgiveness this way entirely, though. Now, obviously, Scripture speaks of forgiveness as something being given freely by God himself, and that means that we should just as freely offer it. But just let's go back to that term of debt again. You know, if a debtor knew of a guy that owed him $1 million or whatever exuberant amount of money that you can imagine, some ridiculous amount, and he goes, "I'm going to cancel your debt. I forgive you. Don't worry about it." Do you think he's going to forget that that man used to owe him $1 million? He's not going to quickly forget that. And so that's really our Lord, is our sin from birth is so large that there's no forgetting our sin. He knows all of it. Yet he still has forgiven us anyways. And so our remembering of sin does not necessarily mean that we haven't forgiven somebody. And to put it in Paul's words again, the Lord knows of all of our sins, but he cancels the record. And so the Lord knows, but he still forgives our debt. Now, this might also further describe where we struggle with forgiveness, though. Some of us have long memories. We can remember many sins against us. You might even remember something that happened to you all the way back in high school, and you might go, "I really don't like that person still." And so that long memory has now created a grudge, right? And so it's not really the memory of the sin that's the issue. It's that if you allow it to fester and to boil over into a grudge that now lasts for who knows how long, that now it becomes a problem. And so I already picked on the guys, but generally, ladies, I think this might be where you struggle with forgiveness a little bit more. Because you remember the thing that I forgot to do a month ago, and I don't even have any memory of what I was supposed to do yesterday. Now, the guys find it maybe a bit childish to offer forgiveness because it seems like we're destroying accountability. But I think it's that you might struggle with those memories that have built up over time. Now, of course, remembering, again, is not the sin, but it's when we allow that to boil over, to become a festering sin. And now you're actually multiplying the sin of someone else, that they've sinned against you. And so now instead of just letting it go and canceling that debt, you're allowing it to boil over and multiplying the sin in you and making it your own personal sin. And so this is why we pray in this petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This protects us from building up these grudges. Because we know the Lord has forgiven us, and that means we also are now praying in the Lord's Prayer that we might have the ability to forgive others and offer that forgiveness just as freely as we have received it. Now, so far, I've made it very clear that we imperfectly forgive everybody. It's not really any secret. We know we're not great at doing this all the time. And whether it's viewing forgiveness in our stubbornness and allowing it to boil over into anger, or whether it's being annoyed at someone coming to our door at midnight, or if we struggle to prevent grudges, we fall short of the call that the Lord has given us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. And we pray for it every single time we pray the Lord's Prayer. We even confess it most Sundays when we gather together in worship, in confession and absolution. And yet, Jesus makes clear that even in our imperfect state, that he still uses us to spread these gifts to others. He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, though, of course. And he said himself in our text, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" It's by the Lord's gift of the Holy Spirit that we share the very gifts that he has given to us just as freely with others. Now, Jesus then rattled off some examples, and they seem kind of silly and obvious examples, of how a father would actually care for his son, then showed him all these people examples of how they actually give these good gifts without even realizing it. And so, of course, a father will not give his son a serpent or a scorpion. He's going to give him the things that he needs. And so these examples just show how we actually do offer these gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes without even realizing it. Just as simply as bringing food to the table for your family is really sharing in those good gifts that God has given us. Now, of course, he's also describing a father in heaven who is perfect, and he's a perfect giver of all these gifts, but that means then now we are enabled to imperfectly give those perfect gifts to other people. And so Jesus is still teaching us that we share them. And so just as a father gives a fish and not a serpent, or an egg and not a scorpion, we also can offer and teach forgiveness in our own households, so we raise up a Christian family, but then also from there it outpours into the world and we offer that forgiveness freely to other people instead of increasing our own stubbornness and our own grudges. In fact, we get to do all of this with great boldness and confidence, as seen by how the Lord teaches us to pray this petition. "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." And that first word, forgive, is a command. And it's not like you and I are demanding anything of God in prayer that he doesn't already do for us. It's not like we're commanding God, but we can be so bold and confident to pray just as Jesus taught us, because we know that God is offering us forgiveness freely, and it comes to us just this emphatically in our lives. That we know that we're not demanding anything, but asking God to remain true to his nature, just like what Abraham was doing in our Old Testament reading from Sodom and Gomorrah. We're merely asking confidently that he would provide us the same gifts that he provides us every single day of our life. And that also means that in that petition of the Lord's Prayer, we are asking that the Holy Spirit would be sent upon us to empower us to forgive others. And as we pray that we might be forgiven, the Lord is sending that Holy Spirit to change our hearts and offer that same gift. And now with the Holy Spirit comes surety. Not only that our own sins are forgiven, but surety that we also can increase in the gifts of God's. And really the gift today that we're speaking about is forgiveness. And so that we too can then be confident to forgive and ask for forgiveness, even if it's not easy and even if it's an inconvenience. Really, especially when it's an inconvenience to us. And through my time here at Zion, it's been very clear that the Holy Spirit is increasing these gifts in all of you, and that you continue to pour them out to all of us. You confidently go to the Lord each week, receiving that forgiveness. You confidently walk together as one big family, giving that forgiveness to one another. You confidently trust that the Lord will use you to share these gifts and deliver them to the world outside of these walls each weekend. And it has been a great blessing to be a part of that this year. And so today, I don't think you're going to be giving Leah and I any serpents or scorpions. I think you know how to give good gifts. And really, the ice cream social last weekend showed us that you know how to do the potluck thing really well. All the potlucks are great. But forgiveness isn't easy, but it is simple. And we can be like the man answering the door that Jesus used as an example, that we can be frustrated and bitter and upset that we should share that gift, especially when it inconveniences us at midnight. Forgiveness can feel as though we're letting someone go off scot-free, but we're really not if we understand that the debt was never ours to begin with. It was the Lord's that he's already forgiven. And it can be frustrating, especially if we know that if someone would not have sinned against us to begin with, we wouldn't have to offer that forgiveness at all. But we must remember that even the forgiveness that we have received had a price, and it's been paid and canceled out for us. We aren't the one paying the debt, and so you're not the one canceling the $1 million. Christ's death canceled our debt of sin. And so then we also get to share that same gift just as freely. And so each time we say the Lord's Prayer, we boldly and confidently trust that that forgiveness is ours, but we are also being enabled to provide that forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit is working in us to increase that gift to share with the world. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.